Juneau Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. It's just about 17 minutes to the top of the hour, and joining me now in the studio is Christian Keenholtz, Research Assistant Professor in Environmental Science at UAS, and Brenda Wright, STEM Coalition Co-Chair. And you're both here to talk about, the Juneau School District and much, much more.
Yep.
So welcome to the show, both of you, first of all.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here.
So you're here to talk some about computational thinking workshops that are being held for educators, so people who are going to be teaching computational thinking, mm-hmm. teaching those people to teach computational thinking. What is computational thinking?
At its most basic, it's how do we think about really complex problems and analyze them in a way so that a computer could try to analyze it and get some solutions to it. And so when we're talking about computational thinking in terms of the education world, we would like all of these children that we're raising to be citizens who are comfortable working with computers, but they don't all need to do programming. But they do need to think, wow, here are these complex problems. How do I pull them apart so that I can understand how to address them, that I can understand the solutions, so that I can analyze them? So this is a grant from Google for the school district to work with teachers. There's a course that runs alongside of these community workshops. So we're teaching teachers K through 12 in all disciplines. How do you help your kids solve complex problems?
Do you have an example maybe of what would be taught in the classroom?
So, for instance, in a couple of weeks, one of the workshops is going to be on how do you analyze processes to make them more efficient. So Anthony Malott from Sea Alaska is going to come in and talk about, how do we get fish processors to work more quickly? So in the classroom, it could be, how could we hand out the papers more efficiently? Or it could be how, something as simple as that. But how do you look at a process and break it down into its pieces, think about it differently, and then because you've thought about it differently, come up with some new solutions, test them, see if they work, and then do that iterative process.
Now, this workshop series is already underway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a series of six classes.
So there's a teaching component where there's a professor who's working with the teachers in a regular kind of classroom-type environment. And then there are these community workshops where the teachers come and the STEM Coalition brings in community members to give examples of how they're actually using computational thinking in their jobs. And then there's another component where teachers work in small groups developing curriculum to make more lengthy units about computational thinking. So there's a lot of different pieces to it.
So Christian, you're one of those pieces. How have you been working with the STEM Coalition and these computation? How have you been involved with these workshops?
I was asked to talk about one of my projects I'm working on, my daily work. I'm working mostly on glacier-related projects, and one of my projects is on Manhole Glacier. As you might guess, it's related to the outburst floods that have occurred since 2011, pretty much on an annual basis.
What is an outburst flood?
That's like we have water accumulating behind an ice dam up on Manhole Glacier, and then typically once a year in midsummer, this lake is releasing a lot of water and mm-hmm. Causes flooding along Manhole Lake and Manhole River. And this project is actually a good application, a good example for how we apply computational thinking.
Can you say more about that?
Yeah, to me, computational thinking has always been kind of an abstract term, but if you break it down into its three main elements, then it becomes a little bit easier to understand. So the first one is a problem formulation. So how does an outburst flood actually work? Like, what are the key variables of an outburst flood? How much water do you have up in Suicide Basin? How fast does this water travel through the glacier? So that's the main element. And then the second element related to computational thinking is expressing a solution. So we're setting up a model, like an outburst flood model.
Mm.
And then the third element, we actually execute this model and evaluate these results. So that's what we do in this project, and it was great to stop by and talk to the teachers about this practical application.
And how did the what did the teachers think about it?
I think that they liked it, and one of the teachers, she came up to me after the course, and she told me that their kids or their students had just learned about models and variables, and she thought it was really timely for me to come into class and talk about this project in front of students.
And what have you learned so far working on this outburst flood project about the glacier and the river and the problem?
Yeah, we have learned quite a bit. We did a lot of measurements last year. So we used a range of different instruments. We used like water level gauges. We used drones. We used GPS. And then we set up this model. So we used all these measurements in the basin to inform this model. And then, got the first results.
That's yeah. Interesting. Is there anything you can share with us?
That we have now a better idea so we can better predict the timing and magnitude. And also process related, we know better what's actually going on.
Do you expect there to be any any like construction around the area of the river? Anything that people can do to sort of protect their property and from flooding or anything like that? That's a solution.
I'm not really aware of what's going on in that area.
Okay, sorry. Just wondering if your project would be informing action from residents or anyone affected in that area. All right. So what do you think that educators that get trained on computational thinking, the goal is for them to start applying it in the classroom and teaching the students. How do you see that playing out over time?
So when we were preparing our first workshop, we were speaking with Christian. We also spoke with Tom Ainsworth from NOAA Weather, and we also spoke with Bill Legere from K2. Mm-hmm. And Tom was saying that one of the things that you need when you're working with all the computer models at NOAA is to be uncomfortable with uncertainty. So here's one computer model that says this and another computer model that says that, and how do you interpret them? And so one of the things that we're hoping to convey to teachers is that one of the skills that students need to be developed is to be more comfortable with uncertainty. Like, boy, the computer's not going to give us the answer, right? That's, I think, what Christian was saying. Well, we're getting closer. We understand the answer is maybe somewhere in here, but we don't know for sure. And how do we keep getting closer and closer, and how do we use the computer to help us, but how do we keep thinking more about what are we missing and how could we think about it differently and how do we look at it a little differently? So that's not particular to a particular discipline, right? That's like, whoa, you're growing up and the answers aren't going to always be so obvious. So you need to be comfortable thinking on your feet, knowing how to pull things apart. So that's a really big, broad area that we hope teachers are realizing that they need to help their children be uncomfortable with big problems so they're not miserable, but they're kind of excited, like, yeah, we can figure this out. It might take time. It might take a lot of us. That's something that quite a few other people who have come in and done have said they have to work with a lot of different people from different disciplines because it's a complex problem or because they have different perspectives. So there are pieces of how do you analyze a problem, like he was talking about those three steps, and the professor will be helping the teachers with that as well. But then there are also these kind of gestalt, characteristics or mindsets that we also want teachers to help us encourage in students. Does that make
yeah.
some sense?
Just another example of all the great things that the students in the district are learning as a result of all these different programs and the STEM Coalition. And every week you come in, I'm just so impressed with what you're teaching these kids, what they're learning. You said that these workshops, Christian is just one of many people who've come in from the community to contribute. Do you have others that you'd like to mention?
Sure. And I just want to make a little plug for Bill Legere because he did a wonderful job talking about how does the news, when it's uncertain, get reported? What's your responsibility as K2 talking about when we had that tsunami warming? Like, do you say the little bit that you know that's not very certain, or do you wait? What's the difference between a warning and a watch? So we had a lot of discussions about how you communicate problems as well. Anyway, so I'm trying to be broad so that you understand how this can really apply to all disciplines and all ages.
Uh-huh.
So we also had one workshop that was really focused on understanding ecosystems. We did it with a lot of people from UAF and the fisheries. And how do those complex, the ecosystem of fish and the people and the environment, how does all that work together? There's one going to be about data visualization. So AEL and P will come and talk about how they use different types of graphics to understand sort of the electrical grid. And Milani Shivens from Rain Coast Data will come and talk about the visualization that she does when she's presented with a problem to analyze. And then how do you encapsulate that problem really clearly visually? And then I mentioned C. Laska is going to come in and talk about how do you improve processes. Hanson Gress, actually, whom you mentioned earlier, they're going to also come in and talk about how do they analyze problems and what are the so if you follow through this particular solution, how do you get people to embrace that solution? That's part of the problem solving. And how does it influence people in different ways? So we're really trying to get as diverse as possible in the types of people that we're bringing in.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
And the first one, the one I was presenting in, was a theme dealing with uncertainty and Suicide Basin. That's all about uncertainty because there's so many moving parts, so many variables in there that all come with uncertainty, and showing how we deal with those uncertainties, I think, was nice to do.
Are any of these workshops open to people who are not teachers?
Absolutely. If they want to come and listen in, they can go to the STEM Coalition website, and there's a computational thinking folder, and they can see the PowerPoints that we've done, and they can see the list of future speakers, and they're welcome to come. It's really fascinating listening to people's jobs and the challenges that they have.
And what's the STEM Coalition's website?
It's junostem.org. But if you just Google Juno STEM Coalition, okay, it will pop up.
Okay, wonderful. Brenda Wright, Christian Keenholz, thank you so much for being here today. As always, I love hearing about the Juno School District update. So thanks for being here every week and having such interesting things to talk about.
Thank you very much for having a space for us.
You're welcome.
For having us.
See you next time.